Lord, we just give you all glory and all honor and all praise, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for another day of breath. Thank you for an opportunity for you to move through us and not allow our eyes to see your hand move. Thank you for the price that you've paid, for the mercies and the grace, and thank you for favor. Thank you, Lord, for never turning your back on us when we've turned our backs on you. And Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction in every area of our life as we repent for every sin, transgression, iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, works of the flesh, selfish ambitions, and touching unclean things. Lord, wash our spirit, soul, and body and flesh, our members and memories with the blood of Christ, the stripes of Christ, your word and the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Fill us with your spirit that we may be one with you as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, take your rightful place here today. Bring us to the throne room of our Father and heal your people. Free your people. Encourage your people. Empower your people. And keep your people in unity with your spirit and like-mindedness in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. How's everybody today? Oh, hallelujah. God is moving. God is moving. And he's looking for movers. People that are willing to move with him. You know, we've talked about the mobilization of God's army. And a purpose of the mobilization of God's army is to gain ground. Everyone say gain ground. How many of y'all want to gain ground or lose ground? You want to gain ground, right? Now, gaining ground is associated with the land of souls. Gaining ground is associated with the land of souls. And territory is associated with heavenly places. So by infiltrating territory, you infiltrate lives that now assist in taking ground. Are y'all with me? Again, I want to share with you that gaining ground is associated with the land of souls, and territory is associated with heavenly places. The Bible says that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, principalities, and so forth. That's why it's so important to do spiritual warfare. And if you do not a warfare in the spirit, there's no way you can take territory. And territory is associated with heavenly places. Just like in a military, in the physical military, what they do is they send jets and bombs before they send ground troops. Then they send ground troops in to take the ground, the land. But first they must knock down all air attack. And in the spirit, it's the same thing. We must bind the principalities, powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. That's why it's important to you, if you realize that you are a soldier in the army of God, that you must be a first striker. If you are not a first striker, you will be struck. And, you know, it's a lot harder to fight when you're wounded. So by infiltrating territory, you will infiltrate lives that will then assist us in taking the ground. So by infiltrating territories, by taking territory of spirits, principalities, and strongholds, we cast those down and out. You access land, the land of souls, and expand the army of God. Then the next thing that happens is we train up individuals to become leaders. Are you listening? To take land also. Now, taking land is not only spiritually, I mean, in the area of territory, but it's also physically. So by taking land, I want to share with you, because we're talking about the land of souls. Once souls have been taken and turned around and they start serving the Lord and begin to do warfare themselves, some of them are owners of stores. Some of them are doctors. Some of them are attorneys. Some of them are all kinds of things. They can own grocery stores. No matter what it is, So in this, what we want to be able to do is they get trained up so that the wealth of the wicked becomes the wealth of the righteous. So the purpose of mobilization of God's army is to infiltrate the end result, to infiltrate the land of souls and take ground. So we should be gaining ground. Is everybody with me? So you're either gaining ground or losing it, aren't you? So much is at stake, isn't it? God works through man to take territory and ground. But the devil comes at you to prevent you, to mislead you, to tempt you, to stop you from gaining ground. And if he can prevent you from gaining ground, you are losing ground. So we are territory and warriors and ground troop warriors also, aren't we? So remember that the devil's purpose, he knows what you carry, he knows who you are. One of the problems he'll always try to do is prevent you from knowing who you are. So this in this fight right now, we've seen that the mobilization of God's army is exposing many areas, because we know that Satan's army has infiltrated many areas now. That's what you're seeing, especially in government and things of that degree. You're seeing all kinds of laws. In fact, there are areas where they don't even believe, they don't obey the Constitution anymore. They're making their own Constitution. So we see here by the fruit that there's much infiltration of Satan's army. But again, I want you to understand that it's our responsibility to infiltrate territory in the land of souls, to take ground so that God can produce his own outposts in every area, whether it be grocery stores, shoe stores, marketplaces, whatever it is. I'd like to own a whole mall. A whole mall where people can come and shop, where people can come and get medical attention, where people can come and worship, where people can come and fellowship. Where a whole mall where it's owned by the kingdom of God, where the money that comes in can go out and feed, clothe, shelter, and expand the kingdom of God and his word, to bring Bibles to prisons, to send out others to missions. See, that's God's heart. It's to expand his kingdom. Are you with me? Go to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 19. Would you read it with me? My little children, for whom I labor in birth, again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Now understand something, that he is saying, listen, I'm laboring. In other words, I'm training you up by the Spirit of God, so that Christ is formed in you. In other words, there is a process of Christ being formed in you. It'd be nice if it happened instantaneously. if we could just go, take a pill and Christ is formed in you. Hallelujah. That's what the world looks like, doesn't it? It's not a drive-through Christ formation. It's a process. And in this process, I want you to please grab hold of this, that Christ can only be formed in you if you're going through trials, tribulations, struggles. Hello? So Christ is not formed in you by you sitting in front of a TV and twiddling your thumbs. Not that he can't speak to you through a program or something. In verse 21, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other one by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the what? Flesh. And he of the free woman through the promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with her children. Now, please understand this because we're going to go a little bit deeper here. So grab hold of this. The Jerusalem, there's a Jerusalem that is here on this earth and there's a Jerusalem that is in heaven. And the Bible talks about the end result was a Jerusalem will come from heaven and land on the earth. It's not a spaceship. It's not a UFO. For some people, it might be. It is a city. And it is called Zion. It's Jerusalem. But we're not going to talk about Zion today. Now listen, in this Jerusalem that is in heaven, it is there right now. When people die, that's where they go. Those who are in Christ. But there is a Jerusalem here on earth, and he says the one here on earth where people are still in bondage, the Jews are still blinded until they accept the Christ, the living Christ, Jesus who died for them, then they correspond with the eternal Jerusalem. But the Jerusalem here right now is bondage, isn't it? People are blinded. And it's associated with the world right now. It is the Jerusalem here. In verse 26 it says, but the Jerusalem above is what? Free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Everyone said, I'm a child of the promise. But as for he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Again, during the process of training, or what we call trials and tribulations and afflictions, you know, and I'm sure you call it many other things, God uses these opportunities to form Christ in us, to release us from the covenant of bondage. Again, the Jews are in bondage. They are in a But the covenant of freedom is from above. It is the new Jerusalem that will come down at the end of time, where the children of promise shall dwell forever. So we are fighting for the souls to be free from all bondage of deception, to enter the eternal kingdom and dominion of New Jerusalem that will take all ground. Are you listening? That will take all ground. In other words, we will have a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be a new city. It will be 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall. It's going to hold a lot of people. It's the new Jerusalem, the one that we will live in. But for the 1,000-year reign, the new Jerusalem will still be in heaven. It will not come down to the end of the 1,000-year reign. In the meantime, Jesus will take place in Jerusalem here. And we'll have a glorified body so that we can go home to our new Jerusalem in heaven and come to here. Are you listening? So in this, we know that all ground will be gained then, won't it? The old ground will be gone and the new ground will come, which will hold the eternal kingdom of Jerusalem, the bride, the Zion, the city of God. Go to Philippians 3, please. Philippians 3. Is everybody there? In verse 7. Would you read it with me? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Remember, Christ being formed in you. So he's seeing all of these things that he's gone through and all the things of his past, he's counted loss so that he can gain the anointing of Christ. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on. I go forward, because if you're not going forward, you're going backward. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us all, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. This is powerful because he's talking about gaining Christ by the death of self and being conformed to his death, Christ's life, sufferings and persecutions, and the power of his resurrection. Now listen, and this is established as we continue by discipline and consistency. Now I want to share this again. We obtain this by the continuation of a disciplined consistency. In other words, you are disciplined to be consistent. You are disciplined to be consistent of the rules of engagement given to us as tools of warfare. You are disciplined in consistency of the rules of engagement given to us as the tools of warfare to press on, take territory, and gain ground. And that's done because we are by taking souls that have been taken captive by Satan's world of deception. So we are freeing them, aren't we? Is everybody okay? Did you get that? So you must understand that there's always a gain. When you are gaining, because listen, for you to gain ground anywhere else, you must first gain here. This is the first ground, yourself, you. In other words, you can't give what you haven't gotten, and you can't take what you haven't given. So that's why Jesus said, anyone wanting to follow me must first deny themselves, pick up the cross, then they can follow me. So we know the process of dying to self, conforming ourselves to the death of Christ, accepting what he's paid the price for us, and being disciplined to be consistent. And that consistency is important as the rules of engagement, that's warfare, that have been given to us as the tools of warfare to press on and take territory, gain ground, and taking captive souls that have been captivated by Satan's world of deception. Are you with me? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Everyone say, gaining ground. I'm gaining ground. Because I'm a fighter. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Victory is established by a battle. If you are not a fighter, you cannot have victory. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? He is proudful. He is proud. Knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, godliness and contentment is great gain. What individuals that are proud cause disputes and arguments that cause envy, strife, suspicions, fear, and are destitute of truth. In other words, they're not discerning the voice of the past. Listen to this. They are not discerning the voice of the what? Past. that creeps up on individuals, causing backsliding, separation, and misplacement in God's kingdom. It is called the voice of the past. If the voice of the past catches up to you and move, it will move you on a place, it will prevent you from gaining ground, it will cause you to backslide. People react according to what they've heard and from their past. You will respond to what you're hearing from God right now, but you will react according to what you've heard from your past. That's why Paul said, I gain Christ by letting go of my past, even the voice of your past. Are you listening? Again, I want to share with you the voice of the past that creeps up to us causes backsliding, separation, and misplacement in God's army. It will cause oppression and deception. People go back to their old vomit. What they've been freed from, they go back for comfort, whether it be alcohol, drugs, fornication, whatever it is, pornography. Are you listening? This is powerful because it will prevent you from gaining ground, and the whole purpose for me and you is to gain ground. But the voice of your past tries to come up. It will try to bring guilt and condemnation. And always, it never forgets what you've done. The thing is God's forgotten. If you've repented. So there's times when you're repenting for something, God doesn't even know what you're repenting for. But the devil knows and he brings it up. And he causes frustration. He can cause fear. You know, there have been many things in our past. Now, it's good to learn from your past, amen? But not to be misled from your past. And the voice of your past loves to come up right next to you and speak to you. And as he begins to speak to you, now let me share this with you, because there are so many times where the enemy will say to you, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Yeah, you can't cast me out. You can't do this. His purpose is to get you to agree with him. Even on his way out, he'll still tell you, ain't nothing happening. And the whole thing is so he doesn't have to leave the room. So you be casting him out, telling him to go, and he's leaving the room, but on his way out, he's telling you, nothing's happening. God's not doing it. I'm not leaving, as he's walking away from you. And then you, as everyone else, agree with him. And he turns around and comes right back and sits next to you or comes in. Are you listening? See, he must obey. It says, the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing, that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. So the devil is leaving you. The powers of darkness are leaving you, and they are leaving your presence. But their voice is still yakking and screaming at you as they're leaving. So don't agree with them as they're leaving, or they'll come right back. Is everybody okay? Go to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 19. Let's read this together. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that is in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Oh yeah, to die is gain. To die is gain, to live is Christ. In other words, Christ is associated with the anointing, right? So Christ can be fully formed in you, which allows death to self to gain Christ. And by doing that, souls and ground is taken. Again, but the voice of the past will attempt to bring a misplacement to hold you from gaining ground. So in every circumstance, you are either gaining ground or losing ground. So you're actually fighting for position, aren't you? The bottom line is you're constantly fighting for position. But if you don't know how to fight, you lose the battle. That's why many marriages are messed up. That's why finances are stolen. That's why people go back to addictions and many other things. They could still be holding criticism or unforgiveness or whatever it may be. Why? Isn't unforgiveness of the past? Think about that. It's of the past. But you don't know what they've done. Well, then that's the voice of the past bringing you to the past. And if you're looking at the past, you can't see the future. In fact, you're blinded to the present. But you don't know my circumstance, but God does. And he's saying, letting your past go. Let the voice of your past no longer mislead you or misplace you out of the position of God's army. Go to 3 John. 3 John. We have a teaching called, Who Told You That? And Where'd You Come From? Hallelujah. It's called The Voice of the Past. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your what? Soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? Truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. That means you may know the truth, but if you're not practicing it, you're not walking in it. And when you're not walking in truth, it's because the voice of your past has caught up with you and you listened. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So by walking in truth, there is freedom. You may now know the truth, but only by practicing the truth can you be free. Is everybody with me? And we know that the soul, by renewing of the soul, is the mind, will, and emotions. Those are thoughts, choices, and feelings. But truth overrides all areas if you are listening. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Gaining ground. That's what it's about. You gain ground by first attacking territorial spirits, principalities, heavenly places. Then you infiltrate by sharing truth with souls. And they become servants and they begin to take ground with you. And wherever they are. Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion and in the trials in the wilderness. Now listen, one of the fruits that you will tell that you have listened to the voice of your past is rebellion. It hardens your heart. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Brethren, beware lest there is any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So please again understand, refusing to hear or listen will produce rebellion and inflict a hardened heart that loses ground instead of gaining ground. And it's because the voice of your past has caught up with you. You are listening to it. 2 Timothy 2. Also, the voice of your past will produce pride. Because a hardened heart is associated with pride. And it's got its own trinity, me, myself, and I. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also what? Live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase the more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are what? His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. Cleansing yourself from the latter is your past. No longer taking heed of the voice of your past, discerning the voice of your past. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? A pure heart. Man, you know who they are. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by them to do his will. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Amen. Now, it's not talking about fleshly anger. It's called holy anger. The Bible tells us that we're to hate evil. So he says, be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give what? Place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Holy anger, not fleshly anger, and make no place for the devil. Why? But by heeding the voice of your past will make place for the devil. And you will lose ground. 2 Corinthians 10. How many of y'all know that heeding the voice of your past will produce fear? Amen. It will produce what? Fear. The voice of your past will produce fear. Why? Because there's something coming up that happened in your past and it's bringing up forward. It's present now and it's producing fear. 2 Corinthians 10. In verse 3. Let's read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. And the voice of your past loves to come up and reestablish strongholds in you. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What is your obedience? To cast it down, to discern it, to not acknowledge it, to not accept it, to recognize that the voice of your past is speaking to you. And these are demons. It's just not some voice floating in the air. These are demons. They are demonic forces. They carry the voice of your past that have associated with you. And at one time they've left you. And now they are coming back to try to bring you back to your past so that you backslide. And please understand, the reason why this has happened is because you've lacked the fight. You've not done what you're supposed to do. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must be disciplined to be consistent. Consistent. And using the tools of warfare that God has given us that we may engage. I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 6. And I know you're all happy about that. You're all thinking, man, how many more scriptures is he going to? I'm freezing out here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idiots? Idols. The voice of the past. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means, if you do this, if you'll come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. Do you know that when you agree with the voice of your past, you've touched something unclean? And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God, reverence to God. Again, I want to share with you that the purpose, we are called to gain ground. We are called in an army. We are strategically positioned. There is a tremendous mobilization of God's army. And we are to be gaining ground. Everyone say, gain ground. Amen. Gain ground. And we gain ground by being disciplined. Being disciplined to fight. We are gaining ground. And by gaining ground, we take the area of the land of souls and produce godly outposts so others can be rescued. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for making a way of escape and for freeing us from all bondages. We thank you for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the breath of God that dwells within us, that Christ can be formed in us and through us, and that the anointing carries us as we serve the anointing to be warriors of the Most High God in every area of our life. And we call Jesus King of kings and Lord of lords, our hope, our strength, and our life. And to God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.